Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. In this episode, I got Ernest Epps with me, and I'm gonna talk with him a little bit and let him introduce himself, what he's doing. He's the guy behind Built to Sell and Clarity with Commerce Events, and he actually helped me out about a year or so ago. Really helped me out with my conversion rate optimization for my store, and he's one of my mentors and good friends as well. So welcome to the podcast, Ernest.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Super, super excited to be here. It's been so amazing. It's been an awesome journey this last couple years since I started in the e-commerce world. And, you know, like Trevor had mentioned, you know, just recently launched a program called Built to Sell and, you know, just kicking butt in the e-commerce world outside of, you know, the info product business that we have put together. And we're actually sitting out here in Bangkok, Thailand at this moment at a place called the Sky Bar, man. Like, this place is absolutely amazing. I believe we're like 60 floors in the air overlooking the entire city. We have some really cool photos. Maybe Trevor will be able to post a couple, on this episode, below. But man, it is absolutely spectacular. I got invited to speak at Affiliate World conferences. They did their event in Asia this time around, and man, it was super awesome to be able to share the stage with the Tan brothers, Neil Patel, and tons of other, you know, phenomenal influential people. And yeah, we're just here to give you guys some value and rock things out.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, this view. So, you talked a little bit about like what led you here, but I mean, you've been on such an amazing journey the last like 6 months to a year. You kind of become like a digital nomad, and it's really cool to see like you traveling so much and doing all these events and stuff like that. Can you talk about like what led you to where you are now with the Built to Sell Academy that you're doing and the Clarity of Commerce events? Because I know it's just really popular and you have a huge following now and huge fan base. So can you talk a little bit about what led to doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Built to Sell, like you just mentioned, is an e-commerce academy. And really, you know, over about a year or so, I was doing a lot of one-on-one coaching with people. And, you know, I started getting to where I was doing roughly about 40 to 60 sessions a week, right? So I pretty much gave myself another job after, you know, getting out of corporate America. And I was like, man, that's not cool. But, you know, the reason why I was doing so many calls was because I love helping people. Like, you know, I'm actually passionate about, you know, being able to help people model the results that I've been able to achieve. And so that was a, you know, big component of, you know, one of the reasons why I was so passionate about, you know, growing in the e-commerce arena outside of being able to, you know, walk away from my full-time job and provide for my family. So I said, man, I got to figure out a way to be able to just, you know, add value to people, but not have to have like a super duper ridiculous schedule doing it. And, you know, I connected with my business partner, Daryl, and we were just like, hey, you know, like, let's put together a program to, you know, pretty much walk everyone through, you know, exactly what you do from a coaching call perspective, but, you know, through a modulated arena. And, you know, let's throw in a ton of incentives and just give everybody every single thing they need in order to create success, even if, you know, if they weren't even able to talk to you. So, you know, we decided to put that together and, you know, we launched it on a virtual summit called Guys of the Internet. And, you know, we got a lot of positive feedback from it. And so we knew we were doing the right thing. And so, yeah, we just been, you know, really just adding value to the marketplace just, you know, through that format. And, you know, we put together live events for people that are in our community. And that's another thing we wanted to do a little bit different than a lot of these other programs that are out here, is just like, hey, let's bring together people more often and on a more consistent basis, because, you know, it can get very challenging when you're starting off on your own and, you know, you might not have a lot of positive friends and family. You know, you got a lot of negative Nancys in most cases. You know, I know when I started, you know, my journey, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to hear any negative feedback because that would have just crushed me. Right. You know, I knew I would have heard stuff like, hey, man, how you doing with that little business of yours? You know, I don't know if anybody's had that type of response, but I didn't want to put myself in that position. And since I know that that is what some people have challenges with, I want to be able to, you know, help bring people together more from a, you know, personal standpoint and a community type basis to really build something spectacular. And along with that, you know, I launched a an event company called Clarity with Commerce, where we put together events worldwide for people, helping to bring people together on a local level. And for me, the reason why that came around is because, you know, I'm a person of, you know, like, hey, if I want to do something, like, you know, let's not like come up with a bunch of excuses on why it can't work or why we can't do it. Let's just find a way to do it. So a lot of people have seen me create some pretty decent success over the last couple of years. And I talk about how you got to be in the right arena, how you got to connect with the right people, how you got to network, you know, surround yourself with phenomenal individuals, you know, like Trevor here. And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, Ernest, you know, I don't know how to network. I don't know how to connect with people. Nothing's going on in my area. And I'm just like, hey, like, you know, go on meetup.com, you know, get engaged in Facebook groups, like, you know, find events in your area. And like, people just come up with a bunch of excuses. And I was just like, you know what? Like, if I start an event company and I put on events, you can't have an excuse, right? So, you know, that was the premise, like, you know, because I want to, as we do these events, you know, we pull together people in the area that's local, and we connect people to, you know, people that are very successful, specifically, you know, in business in general. So it's not just geared towards just e-commerce with Clarity with Commerce. It's Clarity with Commerce, like Clarity with business. Like, so if anyone's looking to, you know, become more astute in the business arena, you know, that's what the company's premise is just, you know, helping people, you know, get around people that are shaking and moving, creating success. Because the only difference between where you are and where you want to be is, it's just, it really just kind of boils down to two things, in my personal opinion. It's just, you know, energy, and I would play energy and effort is one, you know, kind of combining that together. And then the other thing I would say is like information, right? So it's the lack of information and energy and effort that just separates you from where you want to be, right? So if you got the information and you want to put in the energy and effort, you know, I believe that anybody can achieve whatever it is that you want to be and whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you have those two components. So, you know, Clarity with Commerce is that arena to help people get the information so they can then apply that to their business and then create success and have a team and a local community that they can lean on, so they can be able to surround themselves with awesome people.
So cool, man. Thanks for breaking all that down. It's really, truly an amazing thing what you're doing. I think that the courage it takes and the you know, just the time and effort that it takes to build all this kind of stuff up really does help so many people. And it really, it just reaches a huge, wider audience. And I think that the physical events really do help people on another level, because, you know, when you go online and you watch a video on YouTube, you'll watch it. And then after the video is over, you know, you might think, oh yeah, that's great and all, but like, what do I actually do with this now? You know, but when you're in a live event, it's totally different. Yep. And so what you're doing is really cool. And I just think that like doing that as opposed to just doing an online course is really neat and it's super inspirational.
Yeah, man, I really, really appreciate that. Like I said, I'm super duper excited and passionate about helping and serving the marketplace, you know. And so, you know, here we are in Thailand. You know, the transition is, I'll be going to Phuket tomorrow, and then from Phuket I'm going to Chiang Mai, and then from Chiang Mai, we're putting together the next event that's going to be in Australia in Sydney, and then we're going to put together a meetup out in Auckland, New Zealand, and then I'm going to bounce back to Bangkok, Thailand. And then I'm going to head back to the States.
So for, I know you mentioned the beginners and stuff like that and getting caught up when you're a beginner and trying to like just get through those challenges and overcome those obstacles and stuff like that. What are your biggest tips for like getting your store up and running and actually like, you know, getting conversions and stuff like that for optimizing your store for conversions?
Man, that's a big one right there, you know. That's part of what the whole entire Built to Sell program is about, right? But, you know, if I was like brand new, or if I was talking to someone rather that's brand new, you know, because obviously I deal with a lot of people that are in that stage, it's, you know, the first thing is that don't overcomplicate the process, right? You know, no matter like what program you're in, you know, if you're in my program listening to this right now, if you're in another program, if you're doing, I don't know, cryptocurrency, you know, Trevor's audience is amazing. And I know they have, you know, really diverse portfolios, you know, just kind of getting started in general. You know, we just don't overcomplicate it, you know. Just, I see a lot of people get stuck in what I call the paralysis of analysis, right? You get all this information and you're like fired up, you're excited, but then you get stuck on, you know, the application of it. And so you look at like starting to take action on one thing and then you question it. Then you might go back to your notes and you're like, I don't know. And then you watch another video. You're just like, well, I think that means this. You know, just take whatever you think it's supposed to mean and act on it. All right. Like, and if you make a mistake, if you do something silly, just like, it's okay to fail. Just fail forward. Right. And, you know, I make tons of mistakes all the time. Actually, when we did our last mansion party out in Atlanta, you know, I was going through my presentation and I was talking about a particular app with like Shopify, and like the entire room like showed me how to like use the app in a more simple fashion. And I'm just like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that. But I'm more focused on like getting the end result, that I didn't care about how to do it the right way or the correct way. It's about getting it done, you know. And that's how I really operate. So, you know, that's first things first. Now, when we talk about like, you know, really optimizing for conversions, and this is, you know, whether you're doing e-com or you're selling an info product, or even if you're selling, you know, real estate or whatever, it's just, you know, positioning yourself to really truly add value to your audience and your industry. Right. You got to find ways to increase and improve your value and give people a unique experience when they engage with your brand or your website. That's what it's about. It's all about the experience. When you think about, you know, where you shop or where you do business, it's all based on that experience. Like, you continually go and buy from the different places you buy because of that experience. You have that certain expectation of what's going to happen when you go there. So for people that, you know, like to shop at Walmart, you know, that's not, might not necessarily be like the coolest retail place to go, but at the same time, you know, when you go to Walmart, your expectation is, you know, what they pitch in their selling proposition, which is always low prices, right? When you think of Walmart, that's what you think of, and that's why you go to shop there. For people that shop at Target, and, you know, I'm not sure if you guys follow, you know, a lot of their pricing structure and things of that nature, but in most cases, a lot of the products listed at Target are more expensive than Walmart. So knowing that, why would people shop at Target? Well, the reason why Target is thriving in the marketplace is because when you go to Target, you also get a different unique experience. You get a, you know, welcoming experience. You can go to the bathroom and not have, you know, the bathroom look crazy, right? You know, people actually smile at you. They greet you. You know, the store is in a nice environment. You know, in comparison to Walmart, it's not always the case. So if anybody's listening to this from Walmart, you guys need to tighten up. All right. But you know, when you look at it from this truly like online perspective, like let's just call out like, you know, the big boy in the room, which is Amazon. You know, you go to Amazon because you expect, you know, quick shipping. You expect, you know, being able to call someone and they answer. Now, they might not know exactly what they're talking about, or you could be on hold for 20-30 minutes, but at the same time, you know what that expectation level is. So it's like setting that right expectation level, then managing the customer's expectation, but more importantly, figuring out ways to add value to your industry and your marketplace that's unique to whatever it is that you're doing.
Wow. Value bombs being dropped. Boom. Guys, take that and run with it and actually take action on it. I think that was the biggest takeaway right there, was like, if you can learn all the things in the world, but if you don't actually take action on it, you'll literally just go nowhere with it. So with that out of the way, people that are, you know, launching their store and trying to scale, those are the best tips. And what about the people that are just starting out? What are your tips for like niche selection and actually narrowing down, either niching up or niching down or niching sideways? Like, how does someone choose what to sell online?
Yeah, choosing what to sell online is a really simple thing for me. It's just like, you know, is there enough demand for what it is that I want to sell? Like, that's the first thing I always look at and walk people through. Now, when I say demand, I mean, you know, are there people actively searching for whatever it is I want to sell on a consistent monthly basis? Now, if you're brand new, you actually don't get access to the tool that I would preferably like you to use, which is Google Keyword Planner. For, you know, I'm not going to get into why you can't use it, but if you try to use it, you're just not going to get the real numbers, right? So one of the tools I've been recommending for people to use in this early step of the process is a tool called SEMrush. Now, don't use the paid version. Don't pay don't even sign up, because they're going to put you in their funnel and they're going to try to upsell you for $300 a month, right? So if you pay for it, don't say Ernest did that to me, okay? You're on your own if that happens. But SEM Rush, if you just go to the website and you put in whatever the product idea is that you're looking at potentially selling, it'll actually give you that same information as if you were going to, as if you were using Google Keyword Planner. There's another tool that I think, I want to say Neil Patel might have mentioned it, called KeywordPlanner.io. I didn't even get a chance to look that up yet, but that might be another good alternative. You know, you guys that are listening to this right now, if it's a good one, you know, definitely feel free to message me on Facebook and let me know, like, hey, Ernest, this is pretty dope. If it's not a good one, don't message me and tell me it's not, okay? I only want the good stuff, all right? If it's bad, keep it to yourself. But yeah, so SEM Rush will, or, you know, even the other keyword planner tool potentially will allow you to see that demand every single month. So specifically, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, my personal goal is I want to see if there's at least 20,000 people a month that are looking for whatever it is that I want to sell, right? Because that's pretty consistent, right? That's a pretty good amount of volume. I know if I can get just a fraction of that traffic to my website, let's say even, you know, just 1%, you know, that's like 2,000 visitors a month, right? And that's pretty conservative. So, you know, that's the first thing, is that I want to make sure there's enough people searching for what I want to sell. And the other thing I want to make sure, too, is that, you know, that it's something that's actually, you know, of interest to the market at this point in time. Meaning that I want it to be something that's, you know, in demand, you know, not only from like a searching perspective, but also from an interest perspective, meaning that it's something that's not seasonal. You know, it's going to be very challenging to sell, like, you know, surfboards, you know, in Virginia at this point in the year, because I believe it's, you know, December and it's freezing outside, right? And majority of the U.S. at this point in time is actually going through, like, you know, the four seasons. And so, you know, it's going to be, and not saying that you can't sell surfboards during the December time. It's not going to be a high likelihood of being able to convert that from a national basis. Again, going back to that search volume perspective, as if you were selling, you know, let's just say, you know, kitchen dining room tables, right? You know, it doesn't matter what the weather is or, you know, what the seasonality is, but with that being said, too, selling surfboards isn't necessarily a bad idea. You just have to be aware that, hey, if you go into this product, you have to understand how you need to strategically position yourself so you don't get blindsided. So you don't go into a niche and, you know, you're like, oh, my God, nobody's, like, you know, getting to my website. There's nobody buying my stuff. And then, you know, I go to some people's stores and I'm just like, well, you know, nobody's really looking for this right now, right? Or you have to strategically, you know, cut off advertising for certain areas out of the country and focus on other areas in the country where there actually is demand. So, you know, if we're using surfboards again, you know, I would focus on like California, maybe, you know, Texas, some like southern, you know, warmer states, Florida, you know, places like that. I don't know if they surf in Texas. I know they shoot people in Texas. But yeah, you know, those are some of the main things that I look for. You know, the other thing is just making sure that, you know, there's actually people that are advertising the products too. You know, because some competition is always a good thing, because that's validation that, hey, if there's other companies that are actually spending money on advertising, that's not on accident, right? That's totally on purpose, right? And so, you know, from a competition standpoint, I don't want to get into a niche where there's like an immense amount of competition. And specifically, I always like to measure that from the shopping section on Google, where you can see how many actual stores are listing the different products and stuff. So if there's like 50, 100 different stores, like, that's a lot. But, you know, if it's like, you know, 25, 20 or less, like, that's something for me to feel comfortable with, knowing that, hey, if I enter into this market, number one, people are advertising, so that's a good thing. But number two, there's a little bit of wiggle room for me to be able to slide into the marketplace and have to not having to spend an immense amount of budget for advertising in order to compete. And with that being said, too, when you look at stuff that's like super competitive, you know, that isn't necessarily a bad thing in all cases, because, you know, I have a store that's in a niche that's like pretty competitive, and, you know, I'm doing pretty well within that niche, and it's only because, you know, there's a lot of demand for, you know, the products themselves. So it's just like, you know, when you put yourself in that position, just know that in most cases it's just going to cost a little bit more money to advertise, which isn't a bad thing. It's just that, hey, you know, how much are you willing to pay to play, right? So if you look at like the less competition, that you have, the less expensive it is going to be potentially from an advertising perspective. The more competition, you know, there's probably going to be a little bit more cost to be able to enter into the marketplace. So ultimately, what I'm looking for, if we can kind of summarize it a little bit, is that I want, you know, high demand, high interest, you know, moderate to low competition.
It's really, really good tips right there. And that goes for people that are also like in our positions where we have successful stores already and we're trying to build multiple stores out and scale that way. So, you know, one of the biggest lessons I've learned through this journey is to not go wide in any one store too wide, but to actually set up separate stores for different niches and different product niches. You can sell products that are very similar, but not too wide in any one store because it can actually decrease your conversion rates and make a lot of trouble in your paid ads. So with that out of the way, the last thing I wanted to ask you about, because you are an amazing person on the phone. Okay, that's the first thing that I could tell about you, because you're a DSL coach, right? Back in the day, and you really helped me out there. And I was just like, man, this guy is like on the phone, he's on fire. So you've always been really good at getting suppliers, and whether they're the hardest suppliers to get or whatever. You even made a post in your group a little while back about how you got a gold supplier and it was one of the hardest suppliers to get, and you had to be on the phone with them for a long time. Can you explain the process you go through with recruiting new suppliers to your store a little bit, and all the different tactics you take to convince them to do business with you?
Man, that's good stuff, Trevor. So, you know, the thing is, it's just, how do I want to answer this, right? Because, you know, I know there's probably like a good portion of you guys who are, you know, brand new, and, you know, you're just starting to, you know, go through this phase of reaching out to suppliers. And then there's probably other people that are on here right now who are, you know, already, you know, rocking, and, you know, they got, you know, sales in their store, and they're just looking to bring on some new suppliers and things of that nature. You know, so it's kind of challenging for me to kind of position this question or answer rather the right way, because the way I talk to suppliers when I was new is completely different than the way I talk to suppliers now, right? Because you know, I got a lot more experience, I got a lot more success. You know, I got a little bit more room to kind of bully the suppliers around a little bit, you know, with the knowledge that I have. So if I was, so I'm gonna give you guys like, you know, two different perspectives, right? So if I was brand new, you know, one of the first things is that, you know, when I contact a supplier, I want to make sure that I have at least like two or three things that I understand or know about their company, right? You know, how long they've been in business, you know, what is it unique about their products versus like their competitors, or you know, some of their competitors' products, and then, you know, strategically, like, you know, how many other companies that they might be already working with, you know, at this point in time, right? And you know, when I reach out to them, you know, I always like to keep the conversation simple, and you know, just give them just enough information to where they feel comfortable about potentially just moving forward. And if not, you know, not giving them so much information where, you know, I don't have anything left to say in the conversation, right? Because it's all about, you know, creating a connection. You know, I always tell everybody, everyone communicates, but few connect, right? And it's all about that connection. So, you know, when reaching out to suppliers, it just meant, you know, having some knowledge and some information dealing with their organization. And then also having some really, you know, sound knowledge about what your next directions are with your company. You know, that's huge. I think a lot of new people, you know, you get on the phone and you just call, and, you know, you're just pitching yourself without any, you know, again, back to the value, you know, not having any value to bring to the table. It's just like, okay, well, you know, you guys want to work with me, but, you know, what do you guys plan on doing? Like, what's your next step? And so, you know, strategically having like a marketing, you know, strategy and game plan that you can actually walk them through while you're on the phone, right? And so that's one of the things that I strategically cover with everyone that comes through my Built to Sell program, is that, you know, literally like that entire module, I lay out like everything that you need when contacting suppliers, and specifically from the marketing perspective, like what your game plan is going to be for the next 6 to 12 months. It's just like, hey, you know, we're going to do this. We're looking at spending X amount of dollars on advertising. We're looking at X amount of conversions. We're looking at X amount of revenue. And, you know, as soon as we validate that, here's our game plan to scale up, right? And so, you know, if you're not part of the Built to Sell program, that's something that you need to sit down and really think about and say, hey, like, you know, this is what I think I can potentially do. Because the only thing I can promise you is that, you know, if you don't have something, you're going to look silly. But if you do have something, even though if it's not the sexiest marketing plan, it's going to be better than nothing. okay? So, you know, researching your suppliers, you know, figuring out, you know, some of the competition and why they're better, and then also having a really strategic, solid marketing game plan, right? So that's the strategy for new people. And now if you're already in the game, you know, hopefully you're creating some moderate success right now. And, you know, my whole thing when I talk to companies is that, you know, I'm really strong about, you know, my ability to help them get results. You know, I specifically, like, I use this statement, and if you want to write this down, you know, definitely feel free. But I say my goal is to help you guys make an additional $100,000 in revenue this year. Like, would that help your organization out? And just ask them that question at the end. You know, now sometimes I ask the question, sometimes I just make the statement and then kind of, you know, progress to the next segue of what it is that I want to discuss. But, you know, strategically, like, that's what I want to let them know. In addition to that, one of the things too that you can use that has helped out with a lot of people, and this is more of a strategy if you get denied by a supplier. And, you know, if that happens, the first thing that you want to do is you want to, you know, wait till you get a little bit of results, and then you want to go back and approach that supplier. And one of the things I strategically have stated when that had occurred was, you know, let's just say, like, you know, the name of the brand is Ashley Furniture, right? Because Ashley Furniture makes kitchen tables. So I call Ashley Furniture and I'm just like, hey, you know, hey, Steve, this is Ernest. Just giving you guys a call back. Hey, listen, man, you know, we've started creating some success, you know, in the marketplace, like we told you we would. And we're actually running into a little bit of a challenge here right now because, you know, we actually got some customers that are reaching out to us and they actually want to buy your products. And, you know, we're having to sell your competitors' products, and we actually really like to sell your products to help you guys make some money because, you know, it's a little weird. You know, someone's coming looking for your stuff, but we have to sell other stuff. And, you know, we'd rather just put that money in your pocket. So, you know, we just wanted to give you a call and just let you know we're doing pretty well, and, you know, we'd like to help you out. Are you guys you know, looking to bring us on, or, you know, make some extra revenue this year by, you know, adding us as a retail partner? And then just seeing where the conversation goes from there. But yeah, that's that. For people that have used that, you know, they tell me it works like a charm. You know, letting them know that, you know, there's other people looking for this stuff, because you're just like, you know, you got to remember too, like, what is the whole role of an account manager? What's the whole role of the person that you're talking to? The person that you get transferred over to, the reason why you get transferred to them is their primary objective for the company is to help them make money. Their other job for the company is not to bring on any knuckleheads that don't know what they're doing or that are going to misrepresent their brand in the marketplace. So you have to come to the conversation with that in mind. Like, yes, they want to make money, but they also don't want to deal with knuckleheads. They also don't want to deal with someone that's going to give them a couple headaches or a bunch of headaches. And they ultimately, at the end of the day, want to make money, right? So you have to really position yourself to have and make them feel comfortable that you can align with all those different things. And, you know, one of the other statements that I like to ask too is just, hey, like, you know, what are you guys' goal or game plan to be able to increase your revenue, you know, year over year? You know, how are you guys going to improve, you know, next quarter? Do you guys have a plan already for that? And listen to what they say. Like, you know, if it's no, well, guess what? You fill the gap. It's just like they would be like silly to say, oh, you know, well, we don't have a plan, but, you know, we're not going to let you sell our stuff to help us make money. You know, so when you position yourself the right way and position yourself to let them see that you're going to be an asset and not a liability to their organization, you know, the sky is the limit. You know, it's actually very rare for me to pick up the phone and not get approved with a supplier. You know, I kind of hate when people ask me the question of, you know, how many people, you know, do I get approved with? Because it's not a good answer. It's not a good answer for someone that's new or somebody that's doing this stuff. But it's only because, like, you know, as you guys are listening to this, you're like, man, you know, Ernest, you're pretty confident. You know, you sound like, you know, I would bring you on if I was making products and you were telling me to sell your stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's, you know, and that's the other piece, too, now that I'm talking about it out loud, is just, like, having the confidence. Like, when you're on the phone, like, you got I don't want to get into like the mechanics of like some of the psychology and that goes into, you know, your different like, you know, mannerisms that that can connect you with people, you know, from, you know, your posture, your voice inflection, you know, are you looking someone in the eyes? You got to remember, on the phone, the only thing that you have as an asset is your voice inflection. That's it. Like all the other things, like they disappear. You can't look at them. You can't shake their hand. You know, you can't do, you know, all the other, you know, sales strategies and stuff like that. The only asset you got is your tone of voice. So if your tone is weak, they're going to think your business is weak. Right. So don't have a weak business. So, you know, make sure that you, you know, rehearse whatever it is that you want to say, how it is that you want to say it. Shoot, I remember when I was first contacting suppliers, and even though I had some marketing and sales background, this was something new for me. So don't think that, oh, Ernest just picked up the phone and, like, he just had this, like, you know, really awesome, like, strategy to do stuff. No, it was a learning experience for me because I did get denied by a couple of suppliers, but now they're actually on board. So, you know, it's almost like 100% success rate, but I did have some failure rate in there. I just knew that, you know, that no really didn't mean no. Like, that no just meant not yet, okay? So if you ever hear no, it doesn't really mean no. It just means not yet. Because I can promise you one thing. If you go out and make, you know, $2 million, $3 million a year and, like, you're killing it in the marketplace, like, other people are going to notice. And they're going to definitely want you to have their products in a point, in a position to where they could be able to take advantage of that. Because the other part, too, you got to remember, you know, how retail works in general, right? Like, when you go in Walmart, you don't ever just see, you know, one brand, right? You see millions of brands, and everybody wants shelf space in Walmart because they have, there's a certain expectation level of revenue that can be generated by being in there, right? And so even though you're a new brand, you know, you got to remember that, hey, like, you have the ability to add value to that company and give them more shelf space, even if it's just on the internet, because the more their brand is out in the marketplace, the more that increases their awareness, the more that increases the credibility, and the more the higher the likelihood of them being able to get in front of a potential customer, especially if you're doing like what Trevor just mentioned a little while ago, being niche specific with your store. Like, you're driving traffic to a website that is their ideal client. Like, everybody wants that. I don't care who you are. If you have a business and someone can get you in front of your ideal client, the customer that you want, that you know that's going to buy your product, like, that is like the best, that's the best thing ever. So, you know, there's a lot of components that you got to remember when contacting suppliers. And with all those things being said, just really don't forget who you are, and don't forget that, you know, you as a business have some really good value to bring to the marketplace, and that by working with you, that you're going to do anything and everything that you can, that you have the ability to do, to help their brand be successful. And if you genuinely mean that, and this is stuff that I say, like, on the phone, like, you know, if I'm talking to someone and we're at the end of the conversation, like, well, Ernest, like, why should we really bring you on? You know, well, I have not only do I have a vested interest in helping your, you know, company be successful, but I genuinely care about helping every single one of our partners that we work with, you know, improve their revenue and bottom line by working with our organization. Like, that is my mission as a owner. That is my mission as an entrepreneur. And that is my mission as an individual, is to serve the marketplace to the highest capacity. And I can't do that if I don't have your products, because that's a missing piece of my business to be able to do so. So, yeah, we can get emotional with it too, you know. So, yeah, man, it's just, you gotta be deep, you gotta be real. And, you know, and if you're not, you know, excited of, you know, and the thing is too, like, it doesn't matter about the products. Honestly, I don't necessarily care about the niche itself. Well, I shouldn't say the products. I don't care about the niche. I do care about the products. And I know that if those products can, you know, help a person in their situation, you know, whether it's like, you know, again, getting a dining room set to be able to help out their family, whether it's like, you know, buying a horse saddle because, you know, they love, you know, participating in that particular, you know, type of, you know, sport or hobby. You know, it's, I know that, you know, if their product solves a solution, which, you know, every product pretty much does, that's what I get wrapped up around. And my goal is just to get those products in front of the right people that are looking for them, and, you know, be able to profit in the process.
Wow.
Dang, Ernest, that was amazing, man. On behalf of the listeners, thank you so much. That was so much like explanation and value. It just blew my mind. So I hope you guys are taking notes. If you're driving in the car or something, definitely listen to this podcast again later and take notes, because he just gave you call scripts. He just told you how to use your tonality and your voice to get suppliers. He just told you how to be confident and give them a marketing plan. I mean, there's just so much good value in there. I mean, literally just a course in itself. And speaking of courses, can you tell people where they can find your course and get connected with you?
Absolutely. So just go to Built to Sell, so builttosell.us. So builttosell.us. And if you want to connect with me personally, you can find me on, you know, all social media platforms. Well, I shouldn't say all, because there's always new ones rolling out, right? Shoot, we're over in Thailand. Thailand might have a social media platform I'm not aware of. But you can find me. My first name is Ernest. It's E-A-R-N-E-S-T. Last name is Epps, E-P-P-S. And that is the name I use on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Pinterest, all that good stuff. So look forward to connecting with you guys. And I look forward to seeing each and every single person that's listening to this right now create an immense amount of success. Because I know if you want to do better and be better, you can definitely do so.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the podcast, Ernest. I'm going to include links to all of his social media accounts and Built to Sell and his website and everything below. So you guys check out the links below this podcast and go and sign up for his list. He's got a free niche selection guide. He's got all sorts of cool stuff on his website, free training and everything like that. So really great guy. Again, thanks for being on the podcast, Ernest.
Thanks, bro.
See you guys out there.